What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. I just want to say thank you for showing up. We're going to keep bringing it. The goal of this podcast is to bring you some great information to help you create a better practice and a better life. And here's my question today. Do you feel like you're losing control of your practice? Are you wondering, like, what's going on here? Well, today, we're going to help you take back control of your dental practice and protect your practice and reclaim your life. Because the reason you created this practice in the first place was to have a great life. So today, join me with my co-host as we show you exactly how to take back control of your practice and reclaim your life. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. Our job is to give you something to help you think better about your practice and your life. And you might be coming off of the heels of the Christmas holiday. And if you're like me, you're like, I just ate too much. I just got to think better about this year. You showed up to the perfect podcast because you know what we're going to do? We're going to help you take back control, protect your practice, and reclaim your life. Now, I'm just going to say this. Every year, you got to hit the reset button, not necessarily for everybody else, but for you, so that you convince yourself, this truly is going to be the best year of my life. And I have my amazing co-host. Her name is Miranda Beeson, on to guide us. Miranda, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Kirk, thanks so much for having me. I love being here, and I'm really excited to talk about this message today.
Now, why? You have to tell us why. Like, what's the why behind this message? Give it to us.
I think that you and I share a really similar passion of how much we love and appreciate the profession of dentistry. And we're both very emotionally invested in the stories that we hear in our To the Top community, in our Smile Source community, when we're in the room with dentists and with their teams. And we hear, and beyond the words, feel the impact that the help that we're able to provide makes in their lives. It just feels so good, and it keeps us fueled up. And it keeps this momentum going towards wanting to protect and invest in private practice. You say all the time that this world needs entrepreneurs right now. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that so many dentists are entrepreneurs and don't necessarily think of themselves that way. So I love being able to spread any type of message or help in any way for a dentist who owns their own practice to rise to the occasion of being an entrepreneur and feeling really confident and comfortable in that seat. We're going to talk a little bit today about the E-myth concept of the three circles when you own a business that you have to function within for it to be successful. And we don't always think of the dental practice as an entrepreneurial business. But in reality, if you own your own practice, you're an entrepreneur, and that can be really exciting or it can be really scary. And it's just a matter of if you have the tools and support to feel like you know what you're doing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm super excited because a new year right around the corner, and we want to do everything we can to help people feel like this is the year that I can take back a little bit of control. I can feel like I'm running my practice and my practice isn't running me this year. And then I can enjoy my life outside of this a little bit more.
Yeah. And I love this conversation so much. And so if you're listening, you know, there's a big narrative in dentistry of get out of the chair. You know, the good and the bad in dentistry is that you do have to be in the chair working, most of you, for your practice to work. And I always say to people, like, or a big reason why people come to us and get coaching is, like, they don't invest in entrepreneurial time. They don't know how to be a leader. So I'm like, this is where we can help you. You focus on the dentistry and slowly we're going to build this into your schedule. You don't have time to think about your business. Let us do that. And then we'll get you to do that. And it'll be an amazing opportunity. But you do need to live. I want you to talk about why most dentists live in the chair, because you've seen it firsthand, not only in the coaching side, but actually in practice. Talk more about that.
Yeah, well, there's three circles. If anybody hasn't read E-Myth, it talks about being an entrepreneur. And when you're an entrepreneur, a lot of times in the beginning, especially when your business is smaller, you have to fill all the roles. You're the technician, or in our case, that's the clinician. You're providing the actual service that your business represents. And you also have to be the entrepreneur, and you have to think about those strategic things and vision and data and revenue. And then you also have to be a leader. Maybe you have one team member in the beginning, or maybe eventually you have four or five, and you have to lead those people towards that vision. Most dentists live in the chair, and they don't really balance those three circles. They're not really stepping into the entrepreneurial or leadership focus as much. And a big piece of that is just comfort. You know, your clinical role is what you went to school for. You spent years and years mastering the craft. You've gotten to where you feel really confident at that. And so when you're in that clinical space, it's comfortable. Not only that, a lot of times you are really necessary to be functioning as the clinician, right? If you are responsible for 70% of the production that comes out of your practice, yes, you have to spend energy and time within that space of being in the chair. However, we're going to talk in this podcast today about how important it is to divide that time strategically, a little bit at a time, even as you're getting started, so that you're stepping out of that comfort zone a little bit into those spaces that maybe don't come as naturally for you, but are going to help you to be able to invest and enjoy that much more of the time you do spend in the chair. One of the things that Barrett talks about in our organization is, like, we want you in the chair. Like, you love being a dentist. What we want to do more than anything is to help you enjoy the time that you are in the chair that much more. Remove all of the noise that is in the back of your mind while you're trying to prep that crown, because you have intention and systems and strategy for how to be the entrepreneur and the leader.
Yeah. And so just speak a little bit more on the clinician. These circles, I get it. Being a clinician, it's easy. You know, teeth don't talk back to you. A lot of times when you take a course, you're away from everybody. So you're sitting at a course. Picture this. You're in a course in Seattle. You're with like 15 other dentists that have the same problems. And there's a leader who's like talking about one of you. You're like, I just had that patient yesterday. This guy, of anyone, totally gets me. He understands my problems. And it's didactic. It's scientific. And you can see a clear pathway out. You know, it's logical. Not necessarily the same case when you're talking about people or business decisions or an economy or financial stuff, which you didn't sign up for. So I'm just telling you that what Miranda is saying is absolutely true. And when you develop them, not maybe all at the same time and equal. I think the challenge is, Miranda, a lot of people think, well, I got to give equal time to each of them. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you absolutely don't need to give it, and you really can't, right? Because majority of our time does need to be in that clinical realm. So we talk a little bit about just stop and process. Where would you say you divide your time now? I just did this with a team not too long ago, a few leaders that are within an organization, and saying, like, if you had to say right now, what percent of the time, just here's the three circles, put some numbers in there for me. What percent of the time do you feel like right now you're spending doing these different tasks or roles? And you could actually look at it from a data standpoint. You could look at your week. And if you have 8 hours in every workday and you don't have a single one dedicated to check-ins with your team or vision strategy session, it's all 8 hours are filled with clinical, you're at maybe 100% clinical time and not giving any time to those other circles. We like to say somewhere around 80, 85% of that time being in the clinical realm, and then dividing leadership time a little bit more, probably even then than entrepreneur. You don't have to spend that much time in that entrepreneurial space to really dedicate some intentional functionality to like where you're going. So we'll talk about each one of the circles, but I think the really important thing to remember is that your practice is only going to be able to grow to the level of the least developed circle. So great dentistry itself can't fix weak systems. It isn't going to move the needle if we don't have a clear vision or we haven't been able to communicate that vision. If we're an inconsistent leader, we don't have strong strategy, our team doesn't know how to execute to take us where we want to go, we end up just, well, end up wherever we end up because it's just happening around us and we're not really driving the practice in any particular direction. So if those entrepreneur or leadership circles are weaker than our clinical circle, then we're going to have really excellent dentistry, but our practice is probably going to plateau pretty much where it is right now. So we're always going to grow to the level of that least developed circle. And it really just takes a little bit of investment in each circle. Like you said, you don't have to do it all at once. You can look at and evaluate where am I probably the weakest or the least comfortable and just start there and making small tweaks into these all three areas so that you can create a healthier practice. And then your team is more aligned about where we're trying to go. They're going to step up as leaders. And over time, you're going to have a lot more fulfilling of a career in the chair than you're having maybe right now.
That is so well said, Miranda. And I think one of the things, I'm going to build some why. You got to listen to what Miranda is going to take you through. Picture this if you're driving. There's three circles, the clinician, the entrepreneur, and the leader. And let's go back to what Miranda said. 85% of the time, you're probably in the clinician zone. We're going to go through each one of these. You know, 15%, maybe 10% of the time, you're in a leader, and then 5% really thinking about the business. And that's true for most dentists. The challenge is if you don't develop the other circles, you become hopeless about them. And I love what Dr. Ryan Bond said in a To the Top study club. He said, it's sad that most dentists sell 100% of their practice or even 50% of their practice for that remaining 15%. You know, you can develop those. I'm just going to tell you, ownership is the best thing ever because you can pick your path. You can make decisions. Don't feel hopeless and think you have to sell your practice or bring in a partner because these things aren't working. We see it firsthand. We see amazing people come in, become better leaders, and they have said to us, I know I can do this now. They have just developed themselves. Would you agree with that concept before we get into these three?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I agree with that. There's, you know, a lot of times people ask questions like, is there a certain type of person that's a better leader than another leader when we talk about maybe DISC or things like that? Like, absolutely not. The best leader is a self-aware leader, starting with knowing where you are now and where do you want to be or where do you want to go. It doesn't matter what your personality style, what your communication style is, anybody can grow and develop into a leader and grow and develop those entrepreneurial skills. And you don't have to go to school for it. You don't need a degree in organizational management to figure this piece out. You can just go to the school life. There are so many books and podcasts and audiobooks and opportunities for you to explore a little bit more. I share my personal story a lot. I started as a dental hygienist. And I had no intention or awareness that 15, 16 years down the line, I was going to be a practice administrator managing 30 plus people and multi-location dental practice. I never would have envisioned that for myself. But as that came to fruition in front of me as opportunity, I was self-taught in leadership. I binged Craig Groeschel leadership podcasts on the way to work in the morning, and I'd listen to Andy Stanley or Minute with Maxwell on the way home. And I read every book I could get my hands on that helped me to better understand not only myself and how I want to show up as a leader, but also to understand others so that as a leader, I could provide the best development paths to them. And so a lot of times people will ask me, like, how did you end up feeling like such a confident leader, and it's self-taught. So if you want it and you feel like leadership is an area where maybe you feel like you're a little bit weaker, it's not as comfortable. Every time you think about having to have those hard conversations or a check-in, you think, man, I wish I had somebody else who could do this for me. You can develop the muscles, the skills to feel really good about having those conversations. It just takes a little bit of initiative and some goal setting. Same thing when it comes to entrepreneurship. There's a lot of opportunities out there to look at, how do I look at data to better understand what's happening in my practice? I have a fantastic client who I consider a friend now. And she told me from the very beginning, I am like an ostrich when it comes to data. Don't show me that scorecard. I just want to put my head in the sand. I'm going to go focus on my continuing education over here. I'm going to let my office manager deal with that part. And over time, she recognized, you know, I'm not doing my team or myself really a service by ignoring the data. Let me step into these really uncomfortable entrepreneur shoes and start to understand what this data is telling me about the practice. And she's so much more confident now. She can tell me the trends that are happening in the practice. And she's more confident when handling those conversations with team members too, because she knows the why and what's going to happen on the data side, on the other side of it. So it's just a matter of like digging in, and you can grow and learn any of these aspects in the same way that you can advance your clinical skills.
Totally agree. So let's go through each one of them. Let's start with the clinician, and you said comfort zone. Can you explain that?
So I started with clinician because it is what we all pretty much know, right? It is the comfort zone. Most dentists go to school because they're encouraged and intrigued by the healthcare side of it, the artistry of it, maybe. You know, there's a lot of people who really have, I mean, it's an art what they do in terms of their clinical skills. And so most dentists stay really committed to clinical excellence. If we really put down how many clinical continuing education hours a dentist puts in their career, it's pretty impressive. And we've seen it time and time again within our community. I've seen it in practice for myself. This is where most dentists start, and it tends to be just the main point of CE focus and professional development. And so because of that, it is the comfort zone. It's the easiest place to just settle into. And when, you know, Barrett loves to tell the stories of like you get up from that really hard thing, you're walking down the hall, you have to do the hygiene exam, and you hear that person who answered the phone, and they just said, no, we don't take that insurance, but you can call the number on the back of your card and find someone who does. And your leadership, you know, senses go berserk, but I don't have time for that right now. You know what? I'm going to settle back in. I'm going to go do this procedure. And that's where it feels good for me to be. And so you really have to push yourself beyond that clinical realm into that space to develop that true freedom of practice ownership. If that's going to be a thorn in your side forever, don't you want to develop the ability, even if it's outside of your comfort zone, to be able to take that on?
Yeah. And I could say so many things about the clinician space. Just call it what it is. It's sexy. Do you know what I mean? There's new stuff that's so, leadership is not sexy. Entrepreneurial is not sexy. And then in a world we all feel like we're working harder and harder and harder for less returns, if you take an amazing course and you implement, you go, wow, like people are paying for this. You can see the ROI over 5-10 years. So it's a less subjective sometimes investment. So we have to call out what it is. And as every comfort space is, got to get out of the comfort space. So
Kirk, you're not wrong. You know, you don't walk into a, you know, the Greater New York meeting just is happening. And you don't walk in and start talking about, man, I've really, really built up my leadership skills. Do you know my check-ins these days? Like, yep. I am crushing them.
Totally.
No, we're usually talking about the 3D printer that we invested in, or the new lab that we built out and we've moved everything in-house, or the salivary testing program that we've implemented and what it did to boost our our production. Like, we are generally in the world of dentistry, like you just said. I love that you said, like, that's the sexy piece. That's the flashy, the sexy, the trendy, you know, what's happening. And it's super important to focus on those things too. That is, like we said, 85% of the time, that should be what we're focusing on as dentists, is what is new, what's innovative, clinical excellence, mastery, and more. But we also have to be careful if we don't develop those other realms, that the clinician becomes the identity. And so when you live fully in the identity of the clinical space, it becomes more and more common to just not even know where to begin when you're going down these other paths. And eventually, like you said, that little voice out there that says, like, somebody else could do the rest of this for you and you could just do this dentistry. You're like, oh, that sounds intriguing. But in reality, it's really not that hard to dig into building your muscles around the other roles.
Totally agree. And we are going to build muscles around that. And I could go on for 30 minutes, but I won't. Why this is so comfortable. I mean, I look at some of your Instagram posts. You know, think about what you post today. You don't post that, wow, I made a really hard decision with my team and they responded. It's going to be tough, but it was a good decision. You don't post like, we made a tough decision today. Look at their face.
Before and after the team meeting.
Yeah, before and after. But you've seen an amazing case. You're like, oh, let's get the right angle on that. I'm going to post that on Instagram today, tomorrow, and the next day. You know what I mean? So,
and you should geek out on that. And you should be really, really proud of what you're creating in that space. We just can't ignore the other ones too.
We're just having fun with you. So let's go to the second circle, Miranda, which is often the hardest, which is the entrepreneur. Talk about that.
So I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I'll look right at a dentist and I'll say, you know, when was the last time you had a leadership meeting? And that might just be you as an independent dentist. You might not have a partner in your practice. You might not even have an office manager in your practice, but you do need to set aside that leadership time for even just yourself, that deep think time to align on what's happening, where have we been, where do I want to go, vision, values, expectations. So I'll look at a dentist and just say, like, you're an entrepreneur. You know, a lot of times it's, you have a $3 million business. That's super impressive. And it's happening without a whole lot of intentional focus on your part. Imagine what could happen if you did put a little bit of emphasis there. So I think number one, we just have to remember that as private practice owners, you are an entrepreneur. And that's something you can be really, really proud of. If that circle is weak, the business is going to control you. And when it's strong, you're going to be able to reclaim your time and your energy margins.
Yeah. I'm just going to share with you guys as listeners, because we see this firsthand. I mean, if you don't know what we do, we coach practices all over the country. The single hardest thing that we have to convince a team of, that when we're coaching them, is what, Miranda? I'm going to prompt you, because we might have to. Well, I'll just say.
I'll say, you tell me, because I can.
Is the 2-hour weekly meeting. I have spent 31 years of my life trying to convince a dentist, like, you got to land the airplane to work it on the ground. And they all of them, and you know who you are, they resist it. Like, you don't understand. Like, what am I going to do for 2 hours? And then they try to come up with these, well, I'll do them on Thursday afternoons, or I'll do them once a month at the end of the day. I'm like, no, you're going to do them on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. And then their heart stops and I got to resuscitate them. And I make a deal with them. I'm like, if you're working 32 clinical hours, and I'm going to make the same promise to anybody, listen, if you are working 32 clinical hours a week, and you make a commitment to 2-hour weekly, and I did say weekly team meetings, at a defined time early in the morning. Now, you're going to stress out because you're going to be thinking, I could be prepping dentistry right now, but it's going to work for you because you won't waste a minute. And you do that for 2 or 3 years. I promise you, and you could hold me to this, your practice will get better and better and better and better. You won't even know why it's getting better. You're going to see, wow, our profit margins are better. Everybody's getting along. But that's the entrepreneur. That is a bold statement that you as an entrepreneur have to go, I'm going to put the flag in the ground. I'm going to stay away from patients. You guys are my first concern. Let's get better as a team. And there are dentists out there who go, no, I'm not going to do it. And they don't do it. And it becomes a struggle for them to implement change. But that is an example of entrepreneurial time. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. I agree with that. And it's time that a lot of people say, I don't have, you know, time to do that. I'm like, you don't have time to not do that. If you don't carve that time to work on your business, build your business, build your systems, align your team, you're going to plateau or even regress from where you are currently. So what I'll tell you from experience is, yes, that does happen quite often. And I'm a little bit of a accountability bully with my teams. And I'm like, no, we're doing it. Even if it takes, you know, 4 or 6 weeks to get it going, because yeah, it's hard to move patients. I get it. We're going to squeeze some in wherever we can until we can build this out. But we work together. We find the right time of day, usually in the morning, midweek. And by the time they're a few months in, the team does not know how they operated without those meetings. And the 2 hours is gone before you even know it, because you're using the time so intentionally. We're not just sitting around for 2 hours fussing about the, you know, dishwasher that's broken in the break room. We're really intentionally using that focused time and energy to build the business and to improve the business and to make patient care better, to improve the patient process. It's building our brand out in the community. As our practice gets better, our brand gets better. It's a cyclical thing when we really give that attention. Now, I would also argue that there's a couple of other things you could do. I don't know if argue is the right word, but I would add on that there's a couple of other things that you could do that's entrepreneurial time commitment that pays you back endlessly. And again, I mentioned having leadership time. A carved out hour minimum a week where you're thinking about the practice as a entrepreneur. You're thinking about what's happening in the practice. You're thinking about your team. And then from that leader standpoint, blocking out those connection opportunities to really get to know your team, provide the feedback, get feedback from your team. You can really structure your schedule in a way that you still hit or exceed all of your production goals, but build in this really important time to help develop these muscles and these roles that are outside of the clinical realm.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm biased, but like one of the best ways you can do leadership time is just hire a great coach like Miranda. You might be thinking, well, what would I do in leadership time? I would talk to somebody who's an expert on leadership who would get you aligned. Like, you work with some of the most challenging and driven leaders of all time. And one of the major focuses of your work is alignment. You have to get 3 highly powered or 4 or sometimes 5 highly powered individuals to focus and stay aligned. And you don't work in the practice. So you can tell them things they don't have to like what you're saying because it's for the benefit of the practice. And think about this if you're a partner. You might not have the ability to say something to your partner who's been your partner for 20 years because you're afraid. Well, when you hire a great coach and you invest in entrepreneurial leadership time and she facilitates or he facilitates that time, they can get you aligned in no time. Wow, that's a lot of times.
Kirk, sometimes it's the opposite too, where right. It's a solo doctor and they're not as much of a driver personality, but they know they need that. So you have to help them conjure a little bit of follow through and a bit of accountability and a bit of courage towards some of the things that might feel a little bit scarier. And as a coach, we're balancing depending on who's on the other end of that conversation today. I have these really strong drivers who sometimes I have to slow down and say, whoa, you guys should align on that first. And then I have doctors who are really struggling to even know and decide what they want. And so I think that's an important piece of this entrepreneur circle is understanding what is really comprised within that role or within that space. Vision and values are always there. Like, as the entrepreneur, you have to guide the vision of where do I want this practice to be a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Like, thinking ahead, not in grand detail, but at least in that larger, higher elevation vision space, you're also driving the expectations of how we behave. What are the values that this practice is going to build upon? What are those expectations of behavior that we want for our team and for our patients? And how is that going to show up? You're setting the strategy year over year so that throughout the year, you're doing things and taking initiative and guiding your team in a way that's going to get you to where you want to go. Right. Once you know that vision, you are the one as an entrepreneur who's saying like, hey, I think this is the right next step on how we're going to get there. And you're going to use data to help you think that through. When you're thinking in an entrepreneurial space, you're not reacting to the holes in the schedule or Sally who came in to complain about Janie who's driving her crazy. You don't have an emotional reaction and make a judgment call. You stop and you process and you look at the actual factual data that you have on hand and you learn how to understand and comprehend what it's telling you. And then you're able to shift from working in your practice to truly working on your practice and helping to intentionally, in just a matter of a few hours a week, help your practice grow to where you want it to be instead of working for it and it just ending up where it ends up.
Yeah, I love this conversation so much. And so I feel like we should share like deep, dark secrets of coaching. I'm going to share with you guys our highest earner. Now, money doesn't matter to me, but if you want to know, like, Kirk, you've been doing this for 31. Who's made the most money that hasn't sold the practice to a DSO or brought in a lot of partners? I know exactly who it is, and I'll tell you his story. When we got him, he was working 4 days a week in the chair. And I said to him, you have to transition to 3-1. He's like, what does that mean? I want you to start developing people. And he's like, oh, I love that. So he went to 3-1. His practice doubled. Then he doubled. He's like, what do I do next? I go, well, you're going to go to 2-2. Now he still owns the practice. He's the solo owner of the largest netting practice we have ever worked with, not by a little, by a long shot. And he went to 2-2. Miranda, what did I say to him when he went to 2-2? He's got to go to what? 1-3, meaning 1 day in the chair, 3 days developing people, developing leaders, thinking about your business. So I just talked to him 2 weeks ago. He is at 1-3 and he couldn't be happier. He still loves doing dentistry. He's still in the chair, but he took these three circles to heart and he went the other way. So he's probably 15% in the chair, you know, 80% entrepreneurial. Well, I think it's probably more, I don't know.
Leadership.
I'm terrible at math, but you evenly distribute. He's 20. And then what would that be? That would be 40, 40. I would say he's 20, you know, in the chair and then 40 leader, 40 entrepreneur. So take us the rest of the way.
Well, I think you just brought a really great point to light, which is we've been asked the question, what should the percentages be? How much of the time should I be here? Well, that kind of does go back to vision. It does go back to stop for a minute and what do you want for your practice? What do you want for your life? And based on that vision, you can decide how much of the time I should be sitting as a clinician versus an entrepreneur versus a leader. And it might shift over time. I've talked with a couple of practices that I've worked with where maybe it's a young mom who right now can only work 3 days a week, but in 10 years, she's like, I'll probably be able to work 4 days a week. My kids are going to be gone or leaving and I'm going to have more time. And I want to make sure that I, you know, spend say 5 or 10 working 4 days a week before I retire. Maybe it's the opposite. They're crushing it right out of school 4, maybe even 5 days a week. And they know when the time comes that they've put in 10 years, their body's going to start to feel it. They want to start traveling a little bit more. And they're like, by then I'm going to want to be tailoring back. We have a couple of clients in our community who celebrate working 3 days a week. Just like you were saying, they love that balance of the 3-day clinical work week and still being able to produce and support their life, their practice, their family, their team in a way that is positive. But it's all because it's done intentionally. And so you were just talking about this dentist who stepped into this role and 40% entrepreneur, probably 40% leader-ish. And the only way you can really do that is develop your leadership skills. Because we talk a lot about leaders, great leaders, develop other leaders. And so that last circle or that last role being leader, a strong leader is going to make a practice feel stable. They're going to inspire their team. They're going to create alignment. And they're going to ultimately develop the team into autonomous leaders as well. When you have the vision, when we have the expectations or the values very clear, we've done that from the entrepreneurial side. And now as a leader, we repeat that. Chief Reminding Officer over and over and over in our practice so that the whole team feels really confident about where we're going, their role in it, and how we are going to behave along the way to get there. Then you're going to be able to step back a little bit more and maybe you do sit in that clinical chair a little more. Maybe you lean a little more of your time into entrepreneurial space because you've got the practice and the team set up in a way where they can function on their own. And it's something that you can grow into. As I mentioned, it's not always a natural instinct for everyone, but you can grow. And there's a lot of leadership styles. A lot of people think of a leader as like really confident and commanding, and that's not always the best type of leader. I think that any type of leader that is consistent in their messaging, they're empathetic towards their people, and they're transparent and authentic. Like, those are your best type of leaders, regardless of how it's communicated.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've shared this on the podcast. The single biggest thing I have learned about this last circle that Miranda is describing was leadership changed for me. We all have our work to do, but I thought leader was being charismatic, coming up with amazing things, inspiring the team all the time. That's hard. The change for me was I had to become consistent, which I was not before. And leadership, lack of consistency, is the signature of a mediocre leader. And that's who I was. I had to learn how to be consistent, and that was hard. And then the second epiphany I had as a leader was, like, I thought leadership was just keep developing these skills, getting smarter, being better. Those are important, emotional intelligence. But the turning point was when somebody said to me, Kirk, you are not really a leader until you develop other leaders that develop other leaders. In that moment, it hit me, and it also freed me. So now my game at 55 is, I still want to get better at all these things, but like, I'm not trying to get better at inspiring people. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to find the right people and say, you're amazing. Let's get you going to where you need to be. And when you can trust that process, you can grow other leaders. I've got one of them on the podcast today. The day she came in here, I said this to Barrett, the force is strong with her. He's like, calm down, bald guy. You know what I mean? Like, you could see this. You see it in your own practice, too. There are people that you see that could be great leaders. And when you invest in them, they do things you could never do. They take you places you could never be. And the journey becomes fun. I used to think this journey was me driving this tandem bike and everybody else was on the back. And now I've learned I'm on the back. You guys pedal, pedal, pedal. Where are we going? And Miranda will go, just listen, just pedal. And I love that. So make sure you make that shift at one point. When you start investing in people, like the dentist I told you about, like he and that was not an easy journey for him. Like, I'm like, you got to really invest in people. Invest in your doctors that are there. Invest in how they treatment plan, how they talk, how they lead, how they carry themselves in the hallways. Spend your time doing that kind of stuff. That's where you get the exponential returns. So, Miranda, give us some final thoughts, some big takeaways. Any additional thoughts?
Well, you can't thrive by operating in just one circle. Like, things will be okay for a given period of time, but the practice really needs all three parts, that entrepreneur piece of you, the leader within you, and the clinician to really be successful. You just mentioned developing people. You know, systems are really, really important. We say all the time, systems run your practice and people run the system. So as an entrepreneur, you're thinking and you're looking at the data and you're determining what systems need to happen for this practice to go where it needs to go. And like, as a leader, you're developing the people to be able to facilitate and run those systems. And in doing that, you're giving them ownership. And so if you are stressed by the 7 post-its you have on your desk every time you come back to your office and between appointments, that stuff goes away. You say all the time, the crazy goes away when the expectations are clear, when we're leading through that repetition and consistency. And you really need all three to have a well-rounded practice that's going to be able to grow. And strengthening the circles ultimately strengthens your life. Because if you're stressed by your practice, you have the freedom and ability to make a difference in that. If you're sitting in your car, like, here we go again, or you're getting those Sunday icks because the weekend's coming to an end and you have to go back into the practice tomorrow and probably going to bury your head into the clinical chair because that's where it's comfortable. I don't have to worry about all the gossip that's happening over there or the thing that broke over there and who's going to fix it. You have the freedom and ability to build these circles and these muscles as an entrepreneur, as a leader, so that your practice is healthy, your leadership is clear, and ultimately you can just enjoy the life that your practice is supporting for you. Because in the end, you know, we were talking to Paul Sletten. He works with, he's a transition specialist in the Sletten Group. And we were talking about these three circles not too long ago when we were in the room with a group of dentists. And he said, you know, he talks to dentists typically towards the end of their career, when they're approaching or thinking about retirement. And most of them aren't excited. They're actually scared. They're a little nervous because their identity is tied so directly to being a clinical dentist. And they haven't maybe created the life outside of their practice because they were tied or burdened to the practice. Or they haven't created the space through that entrepreneur role or that leader role to step slowly away from the chair and still feel confident in what they're creating. And that's what we want to be able to help people do, is feel that freedom of entrepreneurship and the confidence that you don't have to be owned by this practice. This practice can be a beautiful thing that helps for you to go out and live your best life, whatever that looks like for you.
Love it.
And
love
it's all it. About being intentional.
I love it. So we always want you to do something. So Miranda, let's get some people to take some action. You were going to have them choose one circle. What do you want them to do with the circle?
Yeah, I think just choose one circle. If you're listening to this and you like had little pings of like, oh, that's me. I don't like to look at data, or, oh, I hate a check-in, whatever it might be. Look at those three circles and just pick one and say, this week, I'm going to intentionally give 1 hour of time to that circle that I normally don't. In maybe this week it's entrepreneurial, right? Maybe you are the one that doesn't like to look at the data. You let somebody else worry about that. So this week, 1 hour, stop, maybe watch a webinar to learn about data, maybe dig into some reports on your own, block the time, protect it, and just do that one task that helps you move forward into a circle that maybe isn't your comfort zone.
I love it, Miranda. That was freaking amazing. I absolutely love it. And you know, if you're listening, these are concepts that are very near and dear to our heart. And so we're here to help every step of the way. So true to what Miranda said, I want you to pick one circle. If you're listening, pick one circle and dedicate 1 hour this week. If you don't know what to do, you can join us in the Best Practices Association. We have some great tools back there. This is what we do. We actually have a tool back there called the Dental Practice Success Triad, which walks you through an exercise. It's a tool to do exactly this. We've designed this that you can do this on your own. And if you do it on your own and you're still not happy, we'll help you do it. You know, I would just say this, your life is moving fast. If you're not getting the progress that you need, don't do that anymore. 2026 should be the best year of your life. We want that. You should convince yourself of that. And you're like, Kirk, that's not necessarily true. Then get some great people around you. And it might include getting a coach. And if you've tried everything, you know, you can reach out to Gina on our team. You can learn more about ACT, and we will make you do it. If you want to know what a coach looks like, it's the person on the other end of this podcast. I'm actually terrified of her many times. She will just make it happen. But we have a whole team of pro coaches here that holds you, use the word accountable, to implementing change so that you love going to work. Life is way too short. Make sure you enjoy it. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you guys have an amazing 2026. And the one thing I can tell you is we're going to be here every step of the way. I want you to roll up your sleeves, get involved in our community. We've got some amazing things ahead, and we're just so excited to have you part of the journey. Miranda, thanks for being here. I always appreciate you.
Thank you, Kirk. I appreciate you as well.
Awesome. Stick around. We'll say goodbye. Goodbye to everybody else. Blah, blah. I'm like fired up today.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, that's all, folks. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you enjoyed it, please do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share it with your friends. Keep spreading the word. We're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.